There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. GameTime is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their GameTime guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the GameTime app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. GameTime.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When it's the dog days of summer, that means just one thing. Time to clock out, sit back, relax.
Shut up!
Yeah.
All right? How about that?
Sorry about that. It's time to lock in for another edition of Moneyline with the two best hosts on radio, Donnie Wrightside.
But it is what it is. Otherwise, if we just ran off a spreadsheet, there'd be no gambling, there'd be no sports books because everybody would just press buttons and win every single thing they absolutely bet at that point.
And Kevin Walsh.
Even if the matchup's a little worse, Donnie, odds are he's going to bounce back because he's just been too good kind of right now, and he let an opportunity pass him by.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Rocking and rolling here on a Wednesday afternoon. It's your boy Donnie Wrightside, solo mission today. It is Moneyline and the best every day now officially underway. If you want to get involved, go ahead and do it because we got a big holiday weekend coming up. And also, this is the last live Moneyline of the week, Thursday and Friday. We'll have some other programming here on the network. Your boy Donnie Wrightside escaping to the mountains to get some rest and relaxation. But we have a lot to do today. If you want to call in, let me know what you're doing on the 4th of July. You got traditions out there? Do you wager on the 4th of July? I do. Bandit Drew Baseball all day long. Do you guys have cookouts? Do you go to cookouts? Do you like to involve like the pool? Do you like to go to the mountains? Do you like to go to the shore? Do you like to go to the lake house? What are we doing this weekend? 844-843-6879 if you want to get involved. Also, it's really important that we understand what it is like to be an American on the 4th of July. Which means, yes, the celebration of this great nation, but also on top of that, it's family, it's friends, it's cocktails, it's cigars, and most importantly, it is food. Now, there are some maniacs out there in the streets, particularly who does this quite program with me right here on Moneyline, Kevin Walsh, who don't like hot dogs. And I got to question that. Who doesn't like hot dogs? It's un-American. Un-American to not like hot dogs. It's un-American on the 4th of July not to eat a hot dog to say how much you love this great nation. And yes, there are always fights over what's the appropriate condiment on a hot dog. Let me get by that for a second. But what man in his mind doesn't like to enjoy a nice hot dog? And I explained it this morning on the early line. Many of you probably watched it. And you agree with me. You do. I don't need to hear anybody call and say you agree with me. I already know you do. Because it's the only topic and point that makes some sense. I've gotten to the point in my life. Now, look, I'm crazy in a lot of ways. You know, September 1st of 2023, which was what? September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May, July. So roughly this is my 10th month of 24-hour fasting, which means I only eat one time a day. I've eaten dinner, I think, twice over the past year. Once was on Mother's Day, and once was this past weekend on a Friday night to celebrate my anniversary. But I didn't eat the rest of the day at that point. So I've been doing that. And the reason why I bring this up is it doesn't really factor in what I'm going to talk about. But I like to fill the people in, like, where I come from. Because if it's just, hey, I'm going to eat four or five times a day, six times a day, like I did for my entire life, sometimes this goes out the window. But when you are going, and right now, because I take my meals seriously now. Like, I need a solid meal. If you're going to eat one time a day, guys, you can't blow it. You can't blow it on something that's like, oh, man, that just wasn't that good. Case in point, it's no disrespect, even though there is some disrespect, that when I go to somebody else's place and they're having a cookout, I immediately look at the grill first. If you don't have a Weber or better grill, I'm questioning what we're going to eat this afternoon. I am. Is that wrong of me? I don't think so. Number two, the quality of your product. In this day and age, you know, we live in a time where you can get a good burger at a lot of places. And no, I'm not talking fast food. Will you eat Burger King? Yeah. Will you eat Wendy's? Yep, sure. Will you eat McDonald's? Yeah, you'll do that. But I'm talking like the gourmet-type burgers that are delicious, right? Five Guys makes a very good burger here on the East Coast. I'm talking like non-traditional fast food. Like, I don't really consider Five Guys fast food all that much because it's a pretty quality product at that point. Smash Burgers, like, I love all of that stuff. I really do. But if I show up at your place and you are having a cookout, barbecue, whatever you want to call it, and I just get a glance over at a rickety grill that looks like it hadn't been lit since last 4th of July and hadn't been covered up, I'm not eating your food. Number two, if I see you go to the Bubba Burgers that are frozen hockey pucks from your local grocery store, I'm not eating your food. If I see the buns you are about to serve are anything other than potato rolls, I am not eating your food. I'm sorry. Don't have a cookout. Don't disrespect the people that you are bringing over. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. You need a solid grill. You need the right product, or else don't have the barbecue at your place. Serve pizza then. Don't you dare do it. There is nothing worse than going to somebody's house with a terrible grill that throws a couple hot dogs on there and then gives you those raunchy, made 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago in some factory, white crusty rolls for those hot dogs and or hamburgers. Why do it to yourself? Just don't have the barbecue. I'm sorry. Don't have it. You come over to my place here. We're going at least Weber Grill, which I have in the backyard. I also have the flat top as well. So you can go both on that. You want both meals? I got you covered, man. We got the Blackstone. We got the Weber. That's first off. If we want to go smash burgers on the flat top, I got you covered. Fresh ground beef. Season it up. Smash those patties down. Get some cheese on it. We are eating good in the neighborhood. You want a burger that's not a smash burger? We'll go right over to the Weber Grill and we'll take care of it. You want a good hot dog? We're going Nathan's, Ballpark, you name it. We absolutely have it. That's what we're going to here. Because I care about my guests. And I care about what they think of me. And it goes a long way. And yes, we're going to get to the Major League Baseball card. But I feel like we have to have this conversation in the United States. Because July 4th is a big day tomorrow. There will be fireworks. Hopefully it's great weather in your neck of the woods. But don't be disrespectful to the people that are coming over to your house. And also, be a man about it, people. If you understand you're not ready for the cookout, you're not ready to spend the money on the right meats and cheeses and rolls, don't have the cookout. I don't care if your backyard has a pool and it's really nice. Don't disrespect your guests by feeding them that nonsense. Own up to it. Admit, you're not up to it. I can't host it this year. I hope somebody takes control. Because I'm snobbish like that. When you understand what good grilling is, and I'm not saying I'm a master griller, people. I'm not saying that. I'll cook up a nice steak. I'll get the flat top going. We'll put cheesesteaks on that flat top. We'll eat good. I can improve my craft. I understand that. Is every single batch of meals that I cook up going to be absolutely 100% delicious? No, because I'm not a master chef. But I know the difference between treating my company correctly and disrespecting the company that I bring over. And I've been to many parties out there. Family, friends, acquaintances. Hey, Donnie, what do you want to eat over there? I'm good, brother. I'm good. Really? Yeah, I just ate. Which, again, is a pretty good cop-out now because technically I only eat once a day and people understand that. So I can get away with that. Sometimes you just turn heads and maybe it's disrespectful to go over there. But I'm just saying, I'm being respectful to the game. If I pull up again at a barbecue that's not up to par, what I deem up to par, we're not eating. We'll leave and we'll go somewhere else when the party's done. The wife will eat, the kid will eat. I'm not eating. And I've done it many times. And it's not to be disrespectful. But I just have a higher tolerance level of what I will put up with. It's like once you finally get introduced into a good steak, you're not going to Outback anymore. You're just not doing it. when you finally get introduced to a really good cigar, as much as I smoked hundreds, if not thousands, of Black and Milds in my day, in my early 20s, I'm never going back to Black and Milds. Once you know what you like and understand what is quality, that's what we have to do. And people out there, don't disrespect the cookout. Understand these words. It's Donnie Wrightside. We're dipping into the callers and MLB next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Haven't put a lot out on Twitter. Sort of decompressed this weekend on Saturday and Sunday. Enjoyed a nice weekend after a brilliant betting weekend the following week, including a very good Friday night. Saturday, Sunday laid low. Monday, there was a three-game card. I actually did very well in that card. Hit a best bet of the day on the early line. Tuesday, yesterday, was all over the place, man. 6 hours in front of the camera live, you know, hour and 40 minutes one-way drive, hour 45 back the next drive here. So it was a tiring day yesterday. Didn't get back to well after 7 o'clock after doing a few things. Didn't really put anything out. But today, we're ready. We're going to hit this entire card in just a few moments. We're going to find some of these intricacies on, you know, which way to take RBI and also a couple teams to take a look at with alternate team totals that I think should scorch the bottom line for us here. But it is the 4th of July. We want to see what the people out here are doing. So the next caller we're going to, yeah, it's Moose. He's ready to get on the line. I need to see what he's eating. I need to see how he is respectful of the 4th of July with his grilling. Moose, what's up there?
I tell you what, Dom, I hope all of you guys back there have a wonderful day tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God bless all the people out there. God bless the 4th of July. And to me, DRS, you know, and you are as well, I am very passionate about my cooking.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
Because it's all about who is coming over and my preparation to make their meal a good meal. So mm-hmm. What I do is I'm actually prepping right now, starting off, and then I'll get all of my side dishes and everything ready to go. But due to mm-hmm. recent developments and flying solo, you know what I went out and did? I went out and I bought a nice prime bone-in, 1.5 quarter-pound ribeye steaks. I dry-aged it, and for people, you have to do bone-in, okay? And
yes,
then you put that ribeye, you stand it up, and you put it into your fridge on a rack so the air circulates around it for 2 to 3 days, and you notice a change in the color on the proteins. Then I do a bake and then a reverse sear on the grill. I do my corn on the grill. But, hey, this is how passionate I am when people come over to my house and eat. I am always the last person to eat. And people say, hey, Mark, aren't you going to sit down and eat? And I'm like, you know what? It's not about me.
Yep.
It's about my guests. And it's all about quality. So I'm doing up some baked beans. I'm doing some scallions. I'm doing some organic red and yellow peppers. I cooked up some bacon. I saved my bacon grease. I put some bacon grease in there. A little bit of organic smoke. It's going in the oven because things always taste better the next day. And you are absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a big organic, big natural guy. And you look at, you read some of the labels and some of this stuff. Potato buns are great. You know, if I can find a small bakery that do the buns, that's absolutely wonderful. But yeah, you bet. It's all about when that family member or friend of mine leaves the house, I want them to say, damn, I can't wait until next year. And then, you know what I tell them? I say, damn, let's do this in a couple weeks. Why do we have to wait a year? You know?
So, yes, exactly
anyway,
correct.
And you know what? When the day is done, I'll sit down and I'll have me a nice mac and noodle. You bet.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I agree.
You bet. You know, and it's, you know, it's all about taking care of your guests. You know, everything will be laid out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then all they have to do is assemble. I'll have my paper plates, my plasticware, my napkins, you know, all the condiments, you know, some homemade sauerkraut, some really good fresh pickles, some good Ohio mustard, and everything's laid out. So all they have to do is belly up to the bar, get their plate, sit down and enjoy it. There'll be the cooler outside with the beer. You know, it's ready for them. It is absolutely 100% ready.
It's the only way to do it, Moose.
Yeah, absolutely. And, hey, I just want to say this. I was talking with JP. I plan on being out there, seeing you guys when you're at the Ocean. I guess you got some changes coming up because from what I've listened to you in the morning. But you can bet you're going to be getting a knock on the shoulder during football season out at the Ocean Casino because I will absolutely be there, and we're going to break some bread together.
So yes, we will.
You take care.
Absolutely.
Ball games, and I tell you what, God bless Judge, Otani, Alvarez. Those boys have been making some money and hitting home run props.
Absolutely. There you go. Moose checking in here for a fabulous 4th of July. And by the way, I did bring up some good concepts because, again, we get back to the cookouts, and it is about the guests that you have. It's not about just filling their stomach. Get them some hockey puck burgers and some cheap buns, and they'll be fine with it as if they're like a 4-year-old palate coming over to eat. No. Treat them with respect. But by the way, next segment here coming up here, we're going to start Major League Baseball. We're going to go game by game. Got a lot of good stuff. We'll handicap that. But I have to say this. The evolution of, you know, the changing taste buds for a human being, I'll say 15 years ago, I was a big filet guy for my life, right? Let's just say, like, once you get to college and your early 20s, filet mignon, filet mignon, filet mignon when you went out to the good steakhouses. And people can cook a good filet mignon, there's no doubt about it. But as Moose brought up there, bone-in changed my life from an eating perspective on steaks. And I would have to say, from the first time that I had a bone-in, whether or even a bone-in filet, doesn't matter. My favorite, really, is the cowboy ribeye at this point, bone-in. The most delicious flavor you can have. I went to Ruth Chris, I want to say somewhere around 2009-ish, I want to say. I remember going to Ruth Chris Steakhouse. I say, you know what? Just let me try something different here. I usually get the filet, and it never disappoints. Like, Ruth Chris is my favorite steakhouse. From a chain steakhouse high-end, it's Ruth Chris by an absolute mile. That's my favorite place. I was like, you know what? Let me just try this bone-in. And I never went back. Every single time I go to a decent steakhouse, it's bone-in. Never get the filet anymore. Never just get the New York strip steak. It's always something that has to be bone in. And if you've never tried it that way, I'm telling you right now, the flavor of a bone in steak, particularly of a cowboy ribeye, it's life-changing at a quality steakhouse. It is. So there you go. The 4th of July is about food. I'm getting hungry, even though I already ate Chipotle today. I feel like having a steak on the grill. I feel like having a smash burger on the grill. But you know what I feel like having more? Breaking down Major League Baseball, letting the people know where we should be going tonight for an glorious holiday weekend here. Let's break down baseball next. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Boom. Let's get after it here. Let's have some fun. Hey, Bronny James signed a contract. Thanks, Dad. By the way, is LeBron James paying Bronny James' actual salary at the Lakers? Wouldn't be surprised if that's possible here. But he has signed, sealed, and delivered. Full NBA contract, 4 years, around $8 million. And, you know, first week of the season, watch out because Bronny's going to be out there with LeBron. It's going to be wonderful. We're going to be tearing up and all that good stuff. All right. Let's get to what we've came for today, people. It's Major League Baseball and how we can make money in Major League Baseball. You know how we do. I got the lineups in front of me, at least anticipated lineups, so we can go over. Took a good look this morning, handicapped a lot of these games on the early line, but now it's trying to get down to business and find out what we can do. You know what we're going to take a look at today. The pitchers on the card over the past 2 months, which means over the past 60 days, roughly, right? See which pitchers are in tune. Then we'll also fine-tune that, and we'll take a look at how these pitchers are doing with their home-and-away splits on the season. Again, minimum of 20 innings. We're not just going to get a guy that's thrown 5 innings at home and, oh, no, he gave up 2 home runs. He's the worst pitcher in the league. We're not going to do that. You know how we get down. If we are looking at pitchers today, to be honest, and some of these, we're going to take a little bit of a leap of faith on at times. But the top five pitchers on the card today, 20 innings pitched minimum over the past 60 days, going by what their XFIP is. Chris Sale's number one. How about this? Yusei Kikuchi is number two. Logan Gilbert is number three. Gavin Stone is number four. Eric Fetty is number five. All of those guys, too. 57 innings, 54 innings, 72 innings, 64 innings, 65 innings. That's the top five that we have here. If we look at that bottom five, what we're going to start to focus on, and typically for me, I want to see an XFIP number that's 4.5 or higher. That's really the danger zone. And if we take a look at the pitchers in the card today, once again, this doesn't include home and away splits, which we are going to fine-tooth comb that. Colin Ray comes in with a 4.55 XFIP over the past 60 days. Joey Estes of the Oakland Athletics, 4.76. Andrew Abbott of the Cincinnati Reds, 4.78. Trevor Rogers of the Miami Marlins, 4.86. Dakota Hudson, Colorado Rockies, 5.39. Adam Mazur, San Diego Padres, 6.53. So those are the guys that you're going to want to focus on and say, okay, those are the good starting points. And again, the guys that you don't want to fade, the Sales, the Kikuchis, the Gilbert, the Stones, and the Fettys. Kikuchi's an interesting one because, again, we're looking at these numbers right now on the whole, not taking those home and away splits, which are going to be key. So let's get the party started here and just take a look at some of the early action. St. Louis and Pittsburgh. Michaelis is going to be on the mound against Jared Jones. If we just look at non-analytical numbers, Miles Michaelis really struggles with getting left-handed batters out, particularly over the past 30 days. Left-handed batters that are doing a lot of damage right now against right-handed pitchers in that Pittsburgh lineup, Brian Reynolds, O'Neill Cruz, and Rowdy Tellez. If we flip it over to the other side, take a look at Jared Jones, who has been struggling a little bit with right-handed batters over the past month. You take a look at some of the right-handed batters that can do damage in the lineup today, there really isn't any. Mason Wynn struggling against right-handed pitching. Wilson Contreras not having a good month here. Paul Goldschmidt does have a 182 ISO, but a 279 weighted on base percentage. That's not great. Nolan Arenado certainly below the belt right now at an 083 ISO. So not a lot to love from that game. But if we are taking a look at the two pitchers here, right? You say to yourself, okay, home pitcher, that's Jared Jones. This season, 49 innings pitched at home. He's got a 2.20 ERA and a 390 XFIP number. We're not going anywhere near that guy. Let's take a look at Miles Michaelis, the right-handed pitcher here for the St. Louis Cardinals, as he's on the road. And Miles Michaelis, let's see where you're at. How about this? A 4.59 ERA. That's a little bit elevated, but a 3.77 XFIP number. So for me to stay true to the numbers, yes, I do think there's a chance Brian Reynolds, O'Neill Cruz, and Rowdy Tellez do well. I'm trying to stick to that formula. That XFIP is a little bit too low out of Miles Michaelis in order for me to fire away. But Pittsburgh got good weather today. Wind blowing out to left field, 7 miles an hour, 88-degree temperatures. So something that you can take a look at. All right. Game number two, we'll set this up because, again, it's a quick segment that we have here. I'm going to try to get through every single game today. Boston taking on Miami. Bayo is going to be the pitcher of record today for the Boston Red Sox. On the road this year, if we take a look at his numbers, let's see here. Let me just make sure I got this right with the updates. Come on now. Da, 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 da. All right, there we go. So we got Bayo, 5.10 ERA. Oh, Donnie, that's a guy we got to fade. No, it's not. It's got a 3.74 XFIP on the road. I don't think we're going to fade him at all. Flipping it over to the other side, it's Trevor Rogers and his known home numbers at that cavernous ballpark. 4.16 XFIP number. We might be passing on that game as well. Don't worry, people. We are going to find the jackpot. Come on back with me next. It's Donnie Wrightside right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's go get them, Chuck. Holla. And by the way, technical difficulties, always love it. Something's wrong with my mouse right now, which is really getting on my nerves, where the little slider button where you usually go up and down on the screen, it's not working right now. So I have to do things almost manually. So it is upsetting me right now. I'm not going to lie, but let's move forward. Game number three, we'll take a look at Chicago White Sox and the Cleveland Guardians today. Eric Fetty is on the mound here for the road team. That's the Chicago White Sox. So if we are taking a look at the road numbers here, not the home numbers. Let me slide this down here. Let's take a look. Where is my guy? Fetty? How about this? 56 innings pitched on the road this year. 4.47 ERA, which isn't very good. 3.90 xFIP number. You know there's some really good bats there for the Guardians. The Stephen Kwans, the Jose Ramirez, the Josh Naylors, the David Fries. We're not going to take any of those because we're going to stick to that game plan that we want to try to execute today. Gavin Williams on the mound. Nothing in Major League Baseball to go off of here for the Chicago White Sox going up against Gavin Williams. So one of those games again that seems like it's going to be pretty dead. Next game up, New York Mets and the Washington Nationals. 87 degrees at first pitch, 10-mile-an-hour winds blowing out the left field at Washington. That's a pretty good hitting environment here. Christian Scott getting the call back up. 112 batters he faced on the season. A 136 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 286. So, did have a good start to the season. Nothing over the past 30 days, so we're really not going to get after that. Mitchell Parker on the opposite side, the left-handed pitcher for the Washington Nationals. He has faced 321 batters this year, and get this, a 121 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 280. Now, he is going to be the home pitcher. Does he have 20 innings at home here? Let me try this. Let's see what we got here. Does he got 20 innings? Let's see. It is Mitchell Parker. Where are you at? Okay. 227 ERA. Through 31 and two-thirds innings, and an xFIP of 370. So once again, looking at that, saying to myself, I don't want to go that route. So we got one, two, three, four games already down on the board that we're not really loving, per se, at this point. But don't worry, it starts to get better. The New York Yankees taking on the Cincinnati Reds. Pitcher of record today is going to be Andrew Abbott, left-hander, young kid. Very good for the last 30 days against left-handed batters, as you should be as a left-handed pitcher. But he's getting hit around from right-handed pitchers, both full season and also for the past 30 days. So if we're taking a look at road splits here, and we try to find Andrew Abbott, let's see where he's at today. Okay, game on now, people, right? Andrew Abbott, 51 and two-thirds innings pitched on the road this year. He's got a pretty good ERA, 3.48. We don't care about that. That's just the baseline number. His xFIP number is 5. So we take a look right now, and we hit the asterisk button on the Yankees as one of our teams we're going to be using today for an alternate team total in a parlay. If we are lining up players to take RBI shots, again, Abbott the lefty, struggling with right-handed batters, you know who we're looking towards in this lineup. It's going to be Aaron Judge. So I'm going to write down Aaron Judge right now. And number two is going to be Gleyber Torres. Through 17 at-bats against lefties over the past month, Gleyber Torres, a 429 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 330. So go Aaron Judge and Torres for the Yankees, who are probably going to be on the card tonight. So we'll circle them and also an alternate team total on those New York Yankees. I think that makes some sense. Now let's flip it over to Carlos Rodon. He's going to be home today. So let me just see some of the numbers on Rodon. 3.86 ERA at home this season through 35 innings. He does have an xFIP of 4.04. So even though I don't really love Rodon, and his numbers are horrendous, by the way, guys, through the last 122 batters, elevated ISO and weighted on base percentage for lefties and righties, I can't fault you today if you take Ellie De La Cruz and Spencer Steer with RBI opportunities. I can't fault you. But I'm just trying to stick to that notion of I need a higher xFIP to try to fade. But we'll go Yankees with Aaron Judge and Torres, RBI chances, and the Yankees here as an alternate team total. When I say there's all team totals, typically they're going to be at around 2.5. Some of these games you can get by with 1.5s, and some games you got to slide it up to 3.5, depending on the situation. But the Yankees probably will be live. Next up, Toronto and Houston. Ronel Blanco, the right-handed pitcher, is going to be on the mound here for the Houston Astros. The Astros are the road team against the Toronto Blue Jays today. So if we take a look at some road splits here, Ronel Blanco has got a 2.36 road ERA through 42 innings and an xFIP number that is much higher at 4.16, but not really in that danger zone just yet. So if we take a look at Houston at the plate going against Yusei Kikuchi, Yusei Kikuchi, by the way, has been really good for the season at home. 52 and a third innings pitched, a 4.30 ERA, which is elevated, but his xFIP number is 3.18. Here's the tough part about it, and I was explaining this morning on the early line why some of these times, you know, you look at these numbers and you might get a little bit confused. Because Kikuchi's a left-handed pitcher. He hasn't actually been that good over the past 30 days, if we're looking at those non-analytical numbers like ISO and weighted on-base percentage. 222 ISO, weighted on-base percentage, 371. That's high. Left-handed batters have been torching him to the tune of a 320 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 378. You had an Alvarez versus left-handed pitching over the past month. He's been incredible at a 3.64 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 507. That's awesome. Even right-handed batters getting the best of Kikuchi with a 185 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 368. So I look at the first five batters in that lineup and say, boy, you might be able to get a go on that. Like, there's four to five batters that you probably should think about taking, but it's hard to say when you want to stick to a certain game plan. But those numbers for Altuve, Bregman, and Alvarez are so good that you just might want to actually take one of those guys. So there is a little bit of an asterisk there for me in this game because those first three batters are so off the charts good. And Kikuchi has struggled over the past month in totality, if we include both home and away starts. But by and large, Kikuchi has been a very good pitcher at home. So if we're sticking to the plan, as I continue to say, you probably shouldn't take the Astros. But boy, oh boy, am I going to look back tonight and say, knew it. Altuve, Alvarez, RBI, you know, Bregman, home run chance. It could actually happen there. But I'm just laying out the game plan of what we've been looking at there. Nothing really against Blanco, so not really going to be focused on that end of it. San Francisco Giants and the Atlanta Braves. Jordan Hicks going on the road. Let me see what his numbers pop up to be for us. Jordan Hicks, 36 and two-thirds innings on the road. A 3.68 ERA, a 4.42 xFIP number. So he's right around that danger zone. But as we know, sometimes it's like pulling teeth with that Atlanta lineup right now, just trying to score runs. Chris Sale's on the mound on the opposite side. His home numbers, maybe the best in the business today. 50 and a third innings pitched at home. FIP number, excuse me, xFIP, 2.48 with an ERA of 2.86. So the Giants, who have really done well, guys, against left-handed pitchers over the past month, I can't trust them at this point. Chris Sale has been really, really good. Next up on the docket, Texas and San Diego. Adam Mazur. We don't have enough innings pitched for him from a road and away split over the past, you know, or since, let's just say this year, but over the past 60 days, he's got 22 and a third innings pitched total. He's 1-2 on the season. He's got a 7.25 ERA, and he's got an xFIP of 6.53. Now, you look at that Texas Rangers lineup, and it looks like we're not even anticipating Seager to be in there tonight. And it's not very good. Josh Smith, positive numbers. Adolis Garcia, average numbers. Wyatt Langford, average numbers. Outside of that, they're bad. Having said that, if you are sticking to the game plan, the Texas Rangers should be in there for an alt-team total parlay tonight. Because Mazur is not very good. So you're battling on, okay, I don't need seven runs. I probably just need three, and he should be able to give that up. So that's one of the angles we're playing tonight. Opposite side, John Gray, who's going to be home. He's got decent numbers at home. 3.59 ERA and an xFIP of 3.80 this season. He's going up against a good-looking lineup tonight with the San Diego Padres, who have really hit right-handed pitching well over the past month. But again, let's stick to that game plan. We're finding guys. We're finding teams. Coming up next, we'll find even more.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Phillies and the Cubs up next here from Wrigley. Phillies got a big win yesterday and also increasing their lead in the NL East to 9 games over the Braves with the Braves' loss. Zach Wheeler on the mound today going up against Shota Imanaga. So you hear those two names, you know we're probably not hunting this game down. If we take a look at the home stretch, so by the way, Imanaga hasn't been good. That last month of June, certainly one to forget for him. Once you get back to those days of late March, early April, and May, where he was absolutely filthy. If we are looking at the home splits here for Shota Imanaga, 3.25 ERA and a 3.39 xFIP. they're still very good, even with that down part of June. If we're looking here, road starts here for Zach Wheeler, 39 and a third innings pitched. Does have a 4.35 ERA, because I believe he got torched. Did he get torched one of those games in Miami? I think it was on the road, but it still has a 3.99 xFIP number. So even though guys like Trey Turner hit two home runs last night, we're really not looking forward to handicapping and going against anybody between the Phillies and the Cubs. Tampa Bay and Kansas City. Ryan Pepiot's on the mound. And for him, his road starts, they've been really good this year, guys. 26 innings pitched for Pepiot on the road, 3.46 ERA, but an xFIP of 3.10. That's really good. And the problem is, if we did have a bad pitcher on the mound, the Kansas City Royals probably would be able to tee off. They've been phenomenal against right-handed pitchers over the past month. Seven out of those nine batters elevated both ISO power numbers and weighted on base percentages. And some of those guys have real high numbers. Hunter Renfro, MJ Melendez, Michael Massey, Vinny Pasquantino, Bobby Witt. I mean, play all the hits there. The only issue is you'd like to just bet them blind, but Pepiot has been very, very good on the road. Michael Wacha getting the home start here. I don't know if he has, does he have enough to qualify here. He does. All right, home starts for Wacha. 32 and a third innings pitched, 3.86 home ERA, 3.95 xFIP number. So again, Donnie, where are all these numbers at, man? Where are we going to play? I told you already. Yanks should be on that list so far here, as well as the Rangers for team total. So I got those boxed right there. And Aaron Judge and Gleyber Torres so far. Let's keep moving forward. Minnesota Twins and the Detroit Tigers. Keider Montero is on the mound here for the Detroit Tigers. Doesn't have a lot of innings pitched. Not a great pitcher, though. So sometimes you just have to extrapolate. If you don't want to take RBI opportunities and chances, which I believe you'll have against Keider Montero, 79 degrees at first pitch, wind blowing out the dead center field. I do believe the Minnesota Twins should be on top of this pitcher. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys with elevated weighted on base percentages, but also take a look at Byron Buxton, 65 at bats against right-handed pitchers over the past 30 days, hammering at a 283 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 366. Jose Miranda, 62 at bats, a 259 ISO, a 482 weighted on base percentage. Now I'm going to hold off right now on the RBI opportunities for them, but they, talking about the Twins, will be on your card tonight for an alternate team total. So three teams so far we can pair up. Yankees, Twins, and Rangers. And there's many more to go over tonight. But Montero might be one of those guys we want to factor on once we see that final lineup to see if some of these things make sense. David Festa's on the mound. Not a great start his first time out, but not a lot of love for that Detroit lineup as a whole. But I do think we get runs in that game, and I do think a lot of that's going to be squared up around Minnesota. So we'll keep it there. Colorado and Milwaukee. Colin Ray is going to be on the mound. Now, granted, sometimes a little bit harder to handicap going to Colorado. Road starts this year for Colin Ray. It's high. It's high, people. Colin Ray's road starts, 39 and two-thirds innings pitched, ERA 4.54, xFIP number 5.38, 88 degrees in Colorado, wind not really helping or hurting per se, it's more of a crosswind, left foul pole to right foul pole, so we have to do some checking in on this. Now granted, the Rockies probably should be on your list here. The Rockies should be on your list probably for an alternate team total. Here's the issue. It's Colorado. So an alternate team total, you're not really going to get anything of value at 2.5. You literally might have to go to 4.5, and I don't know if I want to do that. But having said that, RBI opportunities on this team, we might be going for. I didn't love what I saw right off the bat, but just looking at these updated numbers now where Ray has been terrible on the road, and now we're playing in Colorado with a lot of heat in that ballpark. We know it can travel. I got to write down right now the Rockies, and just with an asterisk here, to maybe go back when I see that final lineup, because I think I might be including some of those guys to get RBI. I don't know if I can pass that up. Next up here, Dakota Hudson, again in Colorado. Here's the problem, right? This is an issue because two pitchers that should get hammered. Dakota Hudson, an 8.58 ERA with his home starts. A 560 xFIP number with his home starts in Colorado. But who in that lineup do you go to? And again, it's the same thing like, Donnie, why don't you take it all team total with the Milwaukee Brewers? and rightfully so. But again, the all-team total in Colorado sort of defeats the purpose of an all-team total because basically it's a regular team total. Terang's got good numbers. Contreras doesn't. Yelich doesn't really have great numbers. Adames either. Garrett Mitchell? Nope. Reese Hoskins? Nope. Sal Frelick? Nope. Joey Ortiz? Nope. Hey, Jackson Churio, nine-hole guy, has good numbers. Do you see what I mean? Like, if Milwaukee was presenting themselves much better, we might just hit the gas pedal on them. But I got to come back to the. I got to be honest. I got to come back to this game a little bit later. I got to let this sink in once I see those starting lineups because we might be pushing some buttons in this game. LA Angels going up against the Oakland Athletics. It says Davis Daniel on the mound. Barely any statistics here for the Angels. Bad lineup anyway for the Oakland Athletics, so we'll take that out of the equation. Let's focus on Joey Estes. He's going to be at home. Here's the issue with Joey Estes and the boys. Let me just take a look to see where we have here. So we'll go home starts. What? Look, Joey Estes doesn't have a home. He doesn't have more than 20 innings pitched at home this year. Guy's been popping up quite a bit here. Yeah, he doesn't have that listed. If we take a look at Joey Estes on the season, he's got 46 and a third innings pitched, so he must be doing all his damage on the road at this point. But his in totality, he's got a 5.24 ERA and an xFIP of 4.76. Let me just make a slight adjustment here. Let's see what we got with the, let's just say 10 innings pitched. What do you got, Estes? You got to have at least 10. Oh, he's bad at home. Just over the threshold, people. 4.54. The Angels! Put them down, people. Alternate team total time. That's four teams. Let's go over the RBIs on the Angels and the last three games of the day. Let's win some money, people.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Learning on the fly, people. Alternate team total option today. Rangers, Twins, LA Angels you just went over, and the New York Yankees. Now, the Angels, I really want to focus on a left-handed batter. The problem is they don't have great ones. And if you do take a flyer, maybe it's Willie Calhoun in the middle of that lineup as a lefty, .382, weighted on base percentage against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days. I'm going to revisit that team as well. But let's get to the final two games. Baltimore and Seattle. I actually think the best play in this game might just be the money line on Seattle. It's right around that 115, 120 price, depending on where you're shopping at. I do think Seattle's the better team today because I don't think Dean Kramer is a great pitcher. Not a great start to the season. Got hammered in his couple rehab starts. Even though I'm not in love, per se, with that Mariners lineup, I just think they're the better overall option because you take a look at Logan Gilbert. 270 ERA at home this year, 3.12 xFIP. That's sensational. And even though we always love that Baltimore lineup, I get it. Loved them yesterday. I thought they were the better team, and they were, in a shutout win. I just think today Logan Gilbert can quiet those bats down a bit, and Dean Kramer can get hit by the Seattle Mariners, like the Mariners' money line. So not a lot of love in that game overall. But let's take a look at that Arizona-Los Angeles game. On the mound today, let me just make sure I got this right, will be Christian Mina. Doesn't have any Major League Baseball statistics here. Going up against a formidable offense, as we know, in the Dodgers. But here's what I like to grade these on. Forget about like xFIP number in the minors, right? Just go eyeball test. Last six starts in the minors. Six innings pitched, four earned runs. Five innings pitched, seven earned runs. Five and two-thirds innings pitched, five earned runs. Five innings pitched, three runs, but two of those earned. Six innings pitched, four earned. Five innings pitched, four earned. And in those starts, one, two, three, which means that's five, six, seven home runs combined in those starts there. Does have a decent amount of strikeouts in the past two games, 8-8. But I just look at that myself and say, look, if we're giving up runs to AAA, now you're going to go pitch in a high leverage situation against the Dodgers probably should eat. Alternate team total, that's the fifth team here that we have written down right now. Yankees, Dodgers, Angels, Twins, and the Rangers. If we're looking for RBI opportunities, even though we don't have those correct splits that we'd like to see at the Major League Baseball level, I mean, it's Otani, it's Freeman, it's Páez, it's Hayward, and I really like. I gave out my best bet this morning on the early line. It was Jason Hayward at a plus 175 price on FanDuel, which means probably we're getting close to a